Hi there, Tim Freund here, Southern California real estate broker, bringing you a broadcast from my home studio in Thousand Oaks, California, my office located in Westlake Village, California, right along the Ventura County and Los Angeles County lines. You know, I want to just mention really quick, because I'm going to jump into this, but don't you hate it when you listen to a podcast and the people that are doing it are trying to be humorous and they take, like, you know, 5 minutes before they get into the topic? I've been listening to a bunch of real estate podcasts, and I find that totally annoying. Anyway, I'm not going to do that to you. So I'm going to jump right in. What I want to talk about today is some basic economic tenets of real estate and what we're looking at in today's real estate market. So today is January 4th, 2021. It's our first official work day of the new year. And one of the things that I look at when we get to any given month, but especially true in the beginning of the year, is how many available units are there for sale. So we know the basic tenet of economics is supply and demand. It is absolutely true with real estate. You know, when we have a low supply, as we've had, and demand is high, prices do what, right? They go up. And when we have a situation like we had in the Great Recession, where we had this massive supply of homes and nobody wanted to buy, you know, catch the falling knife, so to speak, you had a decline in prices. So what kind of market do we have now? Well, we're coming out of a market with the pandemic where predictably the market fell off the cliff in March and April when we were locked down and we couldn't even practice real estate between Cal OSHA and between the Association of Realtors not really backing us up and making us, you know, pushing for us to be essential workers. We literally couldn't work. So real estate activity came to a screeching halt in March and April, and then, oh gosh, I guess we are an essential financial service. And so we were able to work again. And as soon as we did, it was like the floodgates opened up. And I mean, people were buying and people were selling, and it was just a lot of units traded hands. We sold over 2,200 homes here in the Canoe Valley in 2020. Which is a significant number, a little above average, I would say. I think the high in recent years is around 2,400, so, you know, 10% above. But still, I mean, it's a very, very vibrant market, and that was, you know, considering the fact that we just literally fell off the cliff in the spring. So we had a big year, but we noticed a lot of multiple offers. We saw prices increasing a lot. Case-Shiller just came out with their latest pricing and nationwide up about 9%. Sales by the various associations have been reporting anywhere from 17 to 22% increase in overall sales. So a lot of activity, a lot of pressure on prices going up. So what do we have going into 2021? So 2021, we have 190 units today, January 4th, available for sale. Okay, I just said we sold 2,200 last year, and I've got less than 10% of product on the market as we speak. Now, admittedly, beginning of the year is always the lowest inventory. So we expect to have a lower inventory because people have taken off for the holidays, people are gearing up for the spring, people close before the New Year's, or before the holidays. So it's not unusual for us to be, to have low inventory beginning of January. What is low inventory? Well, for us, last year was a fairly, I don't want to say it was quite a balanced market. It was still probably favoring sellers a little bit, but you had to be, you know, correctly priced, but then you'd sell. There were 414 homes to start the year off last year. So 190 now, 414 a year ago, and we just had a year selling 2,200 homes in a hugely vibrant and appreciating market. So to start the year off with 190 homes, I think you need to start with the premise prices are going to go up in 2021. I think anybody will argue when you have low inventory and high demand that prices are going to go up. So you should expect that. Does that mean you shouldn't buy? No, not necessarily, because it doesn't mean the prices are going to come back down just because they go up. You know, they may come down a little, or they may not come down at all. You know, they may just go level for a while before they go up another leg. So inventory is tight. Why is inventory tight? Well, to look at that, you got to kind of go look at the Great Recession. We can start there. And there weren't a lot of homes being built. There was not a lot of new construction. in fact, it was darn near anemic. Nobody was building. There was a gajillion homes on the market. Why would a builder want to build? And some of them lost their land. And so, as a result, we don't have a lot of new construction over the past, decade. Although it's been stepping up some in some areas, but again, most of our metropolitan areas are largely built out. So you're talking about outlying areas. So that's a big factor. Then you have the difficulty of building homes in California. You know, it's not physically more difficult. In fact, it might even be easier because the weather's accommodative. But the regulations and the slow growth initiatives like we have out here. In Ventura County is the most regressive, restrictive growth restrictions in the entire country. In the entire country. This agricultural county, Ventura County, has the most restrictive and regressive rules on building. You can't, in fact, incorporate land that's just county land, even though it's right next to city land. You can't build on it, and you can't build on it unless it's incorporated into a city, and you can't incorporate into the city unless the project is approved by a vote of the population. Like, that's going to ever happen. They don't want building to begin with, and then you make it impossible with these growth rules. And by the way, these growth rules were just reenacted in 2018, and they will go for 50 years. Yeah, that's an entire generation of no building. So, okay, off of that, we just don't have a lot of construction. So we didn't have a lot, we still don't have a lot, so there's not new product coming on. So what exists in the marketplace is then only what people are willing to sell at any given time. Why aren't people selling their homes then? Why aren't more homes coming on the market? Well, part of that is because there aren't more homes coming on the market and they don't know where they're going to go when they sell. Even if you want to move up, or move down, it doesn't matter. There has to be a place for you to go. And if you can't see that, then you're not going to necessarily jump in and sell. And not only do you not see it, but because it is so competitive, you can't even be a player if you haven't sold your place or you have the cash to go ahead and purchase without selling in real estate. So a lot of pressure on sellers to find a property, which there's no inventory, so they can't find, and so therefore they become not sellers, they become holders, and therefore that restricts and constrains supply. Another phenomenon is what we call aging in place. Aging in place is just like it sounds. People getting older, and they're not moving. It used to be in California that people would move every 5 to 7 years. When I started selling real estate, I was selling new home construction in the 90s, people were moving every 5 years. Literally, every 5 years, they buy a new home, sell a home, buy a home. Well, now it's like 10, 11 years. So it's literally the length of time people are staying at home is doubled. And this is especially true with our seniors communities where you have, and I'm not talking about age-restricted communities, I'm just talking about where seniors have lived in their homes for a long time. They literally look around and go, I can't find a one-story. There's no place for me to go. And listen, with the COVID that we've just had, still have, who wants to go to an assisted living facility right about now? Or any kind of, sort of communal environment, there's no way. So you don't have seniors selling because they're aging in place. They're putting in lifts. They're putting in elevators. They can't find something that's as nice as what they have for the same money. You've heard this, people say, I can't even afford to buy my own house again because the prices have gone up and they can't, the income they had maybe when they bought that home originally. So that's another reason why supply is so tight. Why is demand so high? What the heck? We're in the middle of a pandemic, for God's sakes. Why aren't people just hunkered down and just not buying? Well, let's start with the obvious, right? The elephant in the room. Interest rates. Interest rates are super low. Everybody who hasn't refinanced is purchasing. The interest rates are in the twos, which is historically unheard of. And when you consider that, inflation, target inflation by the Fed is somewhere around 2%, plus or minus, if you're at 2.5%, by the time you figure the tax write-off you're going to get by owning a home, and for those of you first-time buyers, you do get a write-off. The interest is tax-deductible for your first $750,000 of a loan. So that's a big deal, and that's on your federal taxes. So that comes right after your highest level of income, your highest level of taxation. So, it takes $750,000. Let's say you have $24,000 in interest that you pay. I'm just throwing out a number. And you normally pay 20% taxes on that, you're saving $4,800 just in taxes you don't have to pay. You're able to deduct your mortgage. So inflation at 2%, with all those things factored in, I mean, you're getting free money, basically. Just consider it free money. Somebody's going to give you several hundred thousand dollars to go buy a house. So you've got all these people going, great, let's go buy a house if I can only find one. So interest rates. You have demographics at work here, too. The millennials, who I want to say start in 1984 and go to 2004 or go to 98. Anyway, the millennials are just now starting household formation. I mean, if you were born in, you know, 1990, you're 31, going on 31 years old. Most people aren't buying their homes, so they're 35, 37. So the millennials are just starting household formation. They're just starting to buy. And if you're a millennial, you know what I'm talking about. Your friends, you maybe got a couple of friends who really, you know, maybe they're dual income and they've been really good about saving money and had some money in the market, or maybe they had an employer, or maybe they have parents that can help, whatever, employers with stock options. And so they've been able to squirrel away some money, or maybe they just haven't had kids and you just, you know, really, y'all saved really hard and you're ready to go buy a house. So the millennials are buying houses, which means you have this huge population. And by the way, in case you are a person who's a dork like me who's into things like demographics and numbers, the millennial generation is the largest generation on record in the United States. Most people don't realize that. Most people think it's the baby boomers, right? After World War II, everybody came home and got pregnant, right? I mean, just so kids were popping out every which way during the 40s and 50s. And so that's what people think. And it is true that from the pre-baby boom generation to the baby boom generation, called the greatest generation, the baby boom generation, there was the largest increase of population in any generation. And that is unquestionably true. A lot of people. However, the millennial generation is actually larger. This has to do with things like immigration and other things, and we're not coming off these lows. We're just getting bigger. So demographic-wise, you've got this very large group of people that are just starting to buy houses, and so they're looking for products. You've got low interest rates. You have a big, huge group of people who want to buy. And you have this sort of strange recovery that we've had with the pandemic. They call it a K recovery. And it's like the top two-thirds are doing well, but the bottom two-thirds are just hurting. And, you know, the bottom two-thirds weren't necessarily the buying population by and large. And so the people that were affected are not being negatively affected. And with all the money that's getting pumped in by the Federal Reserve and the government and the Treasury to try and keep the economy going, stimulus money and all this other stuff, that's putting a lot of money in the marketplace. And where's that money going to go? It has to go somewhere, right? People don't just take their cash and stick it in the mattress, right? You can put it in the bank and earn zero. You can put it in the stock market, which would explain why the stock market is at record levels. Or you could put it into bonds. Well, we know the bonds are terrible. They're directly zero, so you're not going to do that. You're going to put it into real estate. And so you've got extra money coming into real estate. So all of this is a big deal, and it's causing an imbalance in supply and demand. So what do we think is going to happen going forward here in 2021? Well, we know that with the type of inventory we currently have, prices are going to go up. And we know that interest rates are going to stay down, and prices are going to go up. We know that millennials are going to keep buying. Prices are going to go up. So, you know, this is just how it goes. I mean, there's really no reason for prices to drop, nor are there any reasons for interest rates to go up. And if anything, unemployment is going to come down with the new year and the new administration, and hopefully the, you know, the virus is under control. And so I think that if you're looking as a buyer right now, it's a little daunting. But as I always say, you don't lose a house over small money. So if you are in the market, you need to find yourself a good realtor. You can find me at thousandoaksrealestate.com. Thank you very much for calling and reaching out. But regardless of where you live, you know, you got to get a good realtor who's going to be able to help you stay on top of the market, and really be able to analyze what are the ups and downsides with the type of property you're looking at, because it's easy to get pulled in, especially with a home that's been maybe flipped and it's getting jacked up in price, or somebody's put a bunch of lipstick on a pig and trying to get a lot of money for it. It's easy to get drawn into that, and you want to be careful. You really want to look at what are the three most important words in real estate, right? Location, location, location. Now, that's a little bit repetitive for those of you who are unfamiliar with that phrase. So I like to think of it as location is your town, location is your neighborhood, and location is your street and your specific lot within that neighborhood. So when you're looking at locations, really look closely. Your realtor is going to help you with this, but you want to make sure that you're looking at things like, don't back up to the railroad tracks unless you're getting an amazing price. Don't back up to a commercial building unless you're getting an amazing price. Parks, you know, depends on the neighborhood as to whether or not that's a super desirable thing. If you like flag lots, you like that long driveway, then cool, grab something like that. But if you don't, they tend to be a little more difficult to sell. So, you know, they don't necessarily sell for a premium unless there's a huge lot at the top of the hill when you get through that long flag lot. So location, 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 don't lose sight of that. And don't lose a home over small money. And if you're wondering what small money is, obviously it's relative, right? I mean, if you're purchasing a $500,000 home, you know, 10% is $50,000. That's a lot of money. That's not small money. But, you know, maybe $10,000 or $20,000 might be small money. If you're looking at $1.5 million, you know, $40,000, $50,000, yeah, in real terms, it's a significant amount of money. But with current interest rates, you're talking about a couple hundred dollars a month. So you don't lose money, I mean, lose the house over a couple hundred dollars a month, because let's face it, what it is today is not what a couple hundred dollars is going to be next year. And a year after that, it goes down, right? I mean, you make more money, and then, you know, inflation, and it eats away at the value of the currency. And so eventually, you end up in a place where you look back and you go, oh my God, I was so stressed about that payment. And, you know, here we are now. Am I worried about it? In fact, let's go find an investment property again. So my predictions for 2021 are pretty much, tie your boots on tight. Get in the game. If you're going to buy, be ready to pay. Just buy location. If you're not going to buy location, then you've got to be getting it for the right price. Okay, again, you have to rely on your realtor for that, who's going to be able to counsel you on, you know, where does this fit into the big scheme of things? Is it remodeled? Is it not remodeled? If you do remodel it, how much does it need to be discounted for the fact that it needs to be remodeled? Because if it's not discounted enough and I put in, you know, $100,000 into my property, now I'm over, you know, it's not super desirable. It's not the end of the world, because you're going to enjoy it and you're going to live in it, but it's, you know, you're not quite setting yourself up as well as you might if you purchase something at a discount. So I guess that's kind of obvious, but I just wanted to bring that to bear. So my name is Tim Freund. I sell real estate in Westlake Village, Thousand Oaks, Calabasas, the San Fernando Valley, in and around Los Angeles, Ventura County beaches, and I would love to help you. So feel free to reach out to me. If you have any questions or comments, by all means, leave it in the postings at the bottom. Thanks for tuning in. You can reach me at 1000oaksrealestate.com, 1000oaksrealestate.com, and, of course, here at the blog and podcast at therealestateconversation.com. Thank you so much for listening, and I look forward to talking to you guys really soon.